You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Scam Wow.
Welcome to Scam Wow. I'm Caitlin Bradnick.
And I'm Sue Smith. And we love scams.
We love scams, you guys. We love scams. We love this pod. We've gotten so many amazing comments and people reaching out to us on Insta. We're hearing about new scams constantly.
Constantly. We're trying to keep up with all the scams. There's so many.
They're blowing us away.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sue, I really want to... Really quick, and then we'll get into more stuff. I was so touched. We had a listener contact us because she had something going on in her life personally and ask us via Facebook, a Facebook message, is this a scam? And it was very sweet that we could help her. And
yes, it was really sweet. A listener contacted us and she was like, I think this guy is catfishing me. Do you think this is a scam? And I was like, oh my God, we're saving the world.
We were so honored and we were like, yes, that's 100% a scam. And also, whenever it comes to men, if you have a minor thought that it could possibly be a scam.
It's a scam. For sure. It's a scam when it comes to men. No shade, so men, guys, but you're scammy.
So we're offering a new service. If you're afraid of anything in your life, you can send it to us because we will, of course, help.
If you're afraid of anything, spiders, whatever.
You'll say, is that spider a scam?
Is it scamming me? It's going to bite me and I'm going to itch. Is that a scam? For sure.
Yes, it is. Kill it.
we are trying. That said, we've been getting a lot of emails. Thank you. We're trying to respond to all of them. So we might not get back to you in time, but like we will get back to you at some point.
But we just love you. We just love you,
we
guys.
We do. Thank you, guys.
There's so many scams. There's scams about people come out other religions, scams happening in other countries, and it's just been lovely. And also, our last episode, we got such a great response for people. I have a family member who... from my husband's side, was involved in a very intense religious community as well. And she said she was so grateful that Rachel and we all sort of illuminated that experience because she had a lot of thinking, you know, on her side about it. And I don't think it's brought up that often and that casually. Yeah. And she just was saying she was happy to hear it talked about and that it was brought to the attention. And it was very comforting to her. So I was so happy because we were nervous.
I think we were nervous to talk about it because we know that like politics and religion are very polarizing topics. And like we've said, we take our comments in iTunes very seriously, or like they're very, like we read all of them. And when someone comments like negatively, we're like, oh my God. So I think we had a comment where someone was like,
They hated our politics.
Yeah. Why do they talk about politics? They don't have to talk about politics. So ever since then, we've been very careful.
A little gun shy.
A little gun shy about politics and religion and trying to keep it not that. So
but
that's
also
why
we hate guns.
Oh no, not gun shy. But, like, not, like,
but also, yeah,
bow and arrow shy or something. Not a gun.
Yeah, never mind. That's a bad word because we do hate guns and we will fight you.
Oh yeah, we will fight you about how much we hate guns for sure. Right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we love you guys. Guys, we got some amazing phone calls on our hot tip hotline, and you can always give us a call if you have anything going on. We adore it and I live for it. The number is 347-509-9414, and we're going to play one of our calls right now.
Hi, this is Bree from Los Angeles. I was just calling to say I love the podcast, and I've been a weekly listener since day one. I wanted to tell you guys about my scam. I used to work for an SEO company in Orange County for about 2 years, and Sue, it is pretty much verbatim your work horror story.
Oh my god.
And fuck out of people. Like, our whole business model was based on just fucking with people and taking their money because of bullshit SEO. So I worked there for, like I said, about 2 years, and ended up being fired because the COO was a misogynist douchebag. So, anyways, basically, the company was, business was originally filed in Nevada, and they weren't operating on a proper business license for about half my time there, which was kind of crazy to find out. So, who the fuck knows what's going on with them now? Anyways, love you guys. Love the show. Bye.
Love you. That's love so you. Similar to my story. Also, that is so similar. Also, Nevada and Delaware are the states to register a company if you want to avoid taxes. Those are the states.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bree, I am so happy you're not there anymore. And we send you all of our love, and we're so glad that you're the fuck out of there. And you're baddest. Thanks for listening. We love you.
We love you. And I'm glad that someone else has had my same experience. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And I think I know this Bree, and I think I love this Bree, and I just want to say hi, I love you and miss you. I hope to see you.
Caitlin, is this a member gathering. Of your extended family?
It might be, but I love her. She's the sweetest. But I didn't know about this. I'm glad to know. We must talk about it.
Yeah.
I think that's the issue, is that you feel sort of these men make you feel a little bit ashamed as well. That's what your episode was about.
Scamming is very shameful.
We love you, Bree. Oh, thank you again. Okay. We have one more call.
We have another call. Great.
Hi, this is Erica Curry, and I was calling because I wanted to alert Scam Wow about the Hollywood con that's going on right now. So basically, the FBI is investigating the con queen of Hollywood, and she's a very sophisticated swindler who is mimicking like she's the head of Marvel and all these different studios and having actors audition in like really sexually explicit ways. And also transporting them. Like, if they get somewhere, they will put up a bunch of money up front, but it's going to them. There's a ton of people. It's affected hundreds of people on, like, four different continents, and I would love to hear a podcast more about it. The Hollywood Reporter just wrote a really in-depth article, but I'd love to hear your take on it. I can be reached on Iconic Erica Curry on Instagram. And I can't wait to hear how it goes. Thanks, God.
100% we're going
to
do this.
We have to do this.
I heard of this, Erica, and I heard, I think they were, and we will get into it more, I think they were asking actors to like put up money, and they're like, oh, the studio will pay you back, and you get this flight and all this stuff, yeah. And they were fronting as these industries. And my sister was actually telling me, she works in LA in the film industry, that they are really cracking down on stuff because there's been multiple fraudulent people saying that they are casting directors or producers, and they do the pay to play things, and they take people's money. And yeah, so yes, Erica, thank you, and I will be reaching out to you, and we will be covering this.
We have to. Here's the thing: if you're spending money on a casting workshop, you should just, or like anything with a casting director, you should just assume that money is like flush down the toilet, and you're never going to get that back in any way. So like,
yeah, it's just sort of like rehearsal for you to keep playing around and
yeah,
get more film on yourself. But it won't really.
It's never going to guarantee you anything. Not that those things are bad, but That's just how that works.
No, I want to do another one.
I know. They're fun. I like them. You meet people.
I love flushing my money.
Yeah. I love to flush money. I think I have a couple of emails to read.
Okay.
You guys, we have two emails to read. The first one is from Kira. She's got some tea on the college admissions scams. She says,
Kira, update us.
Yeah, more updates. Hey, Sue and Caitlin, this is Kira from Instagram. I love that that's where she's from.
But honestly, that's how I know everyone. I'm like, oh, Kira, we've been texting.
I'm going to be a rising sophomore at Georgetown University, where our former tennis coach was involved in Singer's scam. Many people only talk about Olivia Jade and USC, but there's a good amount of tea at Georgetown. First, there was an article from the Daily Beast about Isabel Hernandez, who apparently bragged about cheating on her SATs. The article pulled up hella information, including a presentation? I don't know. It's capitalized. She made for her class and a blog she made for a class that I ended up taking, which is known as a huge gut.
I don't really understand those words.
I know.
We're too old for this, but I think what you're saying is it sounds like she's bragging. So yeah. She did like a presentation about bragging.
I don't know. The article basically just shit on her, which TBH she seemed to deserve. And everyone was talking about it. We have a huge club culture and she was kicked out of the major clubs she was in and eventually kicked out of Georgetown. There were rumors going around that she wore a boot for an injury for almost all of her freshman year and people didn't really know why. But now they think it was to give her an excuse from being on the tennis team. Oh,
that makes sense.
Now
that's a great idea.
That is a good idea because then you don't have to take.
That was a thought out.
Yeah. Now this then you don't have to take gym class, but they don't have gym class in college. Whatever. Now this other student is suing the university for kicking him out after they found out he was one of the students whose parents paid for his spot on the tennis team. There are a lot more details here than an article one of my friends wrote. So we have these articles and. Hopefully we'll remember to link them in the show notes. thanks. I would love to talk, but I don't know how much info I wanted to disclose. And she says, thanks, Kira. So she's talking about who got kicked out of Georgetown after it was found out that their parents paid to get them in.
Okay.
Hot tea.
I know. She might know some of them. She might be friends. Who knows? But I'm glad. I think the funniest thing is, I never really thought through of once you're put on the team, if you're in on this, you know, fraud, how do you not play if you're terrible? Like, I guess there's multiple cats.
You got to get a boot.
You got to get a boot. There's one thing you got to do. It's get into college and then get yourself a boot.
A hot, sexy boot.
A cast, an arm sling.
An arm sling, anything for your injury.
A head brace.
Neck brace.
A neck brace.
For your head or your neck.
Or anything.
All right, I have another
Thank
email.
Thank you. Okay.
One from Hannah Patterson about Rachel's episode about fundamentalist Christianity. This is a sweet one. Hey, ladies, just first want to say how much I enjoy your show and how intriguing it is to hear about the ways people scam. You're welcome.
Thank you. We need the compliment.
You guys should look into what is called Shomer Nagia, Shomer Nagia. This is a practice in very strict Orthodox Jewish circles in which one does not touch a member of the opposite sex in any way before marriage. This includes handshakes, tapping shoulders, anything. What was described in the purity ball concept was so strikingly similar to this. In the circles of Judaism that are strict to this level, women are second-class citizens. In services, women are sat behind a tall curtain and forbidden from leading or actively participating in services. Women cannot read the Torah, cannot wear a kippah, and cannot wear the tallit. They also have strict rules surrounding menstruation called the mikvah, which is essentially a baptism, but obviously not a baptism. Women often marry young and have lots of kids and are expected to be virgins, and that includes holding hands. You're not a virgin if you don't hold hands. Ugh. She didn't say that, but that's what I'm inferring. Married women must keep their hair covered in public, and this is considered to be her husband's property. Yes, your fucking natural hair is not your own in this group. You're told from the beginning that because you are a woman, you are filthy, dirty, disgusting in the eyes of God. You can imagine the imbalance of power dynamics at play here. Domestic abuse and violence is a huge problem in these communities, as only the husband may request a divorce from the rabbi. A woman stepping out of line will get exiled from the community, and in most cases, that community is the only one she has ever known in her entire life, so she would have nowhere else to turn should she leave. Thank you so much for this episode. I'm really glad brave women and men aren't being bullied into silence anymore, and that the perpetual violence can come to an end. I don't want my daughter to ever experience what I did. Love, Hannah in Florida. Oh, so
Hannah, I know all about this.
Really?
I know. Yes. I grew up half Jewish, half Catholic, and around some really intense Orthodox communities where my grandparents lived. And I know I visited a bunch of synagogues. I go on synagogue tours because we're Jewish. and like old ones.
Yeah.
I went to these ones in Italy, and they had the separation, and women weren't allowed to sit over there. Yeah. And so I remember as a kid really just being fascinated with these old rules that are still happening. And I've kind of been like highly alert and aware of it, because there are a bunch of people like that in Brooklyn, in New York. I see these families. All I want is to hope that person's in a loving relationship.
Just think that it's crazy that every single, not every religion, but so many religions have this idea where women are less than, and they subjugate women. Well, and it's such bullshit.
Yes, yes. And so I really do feel like you could find any religion that goes, and if you just go deeper and deeper and deeper, yeah, there's a place where a zillion years ago they decided, because they didn't understand women's bodies, mm-hmm, that women are gross.
It's
and
awful.
And so that's so awful. And then it keeps, yeah, it's really upsetting. And I don't begrudge anybody having a community, but when it starts to, I don't know. It's just really sad.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Let's introduce our guest. She's fabulous.
Yes, guys,
she's amazing.
I'm so excited.
She's the owner of our podcast network.
She's a boss bitch. My mom loves her. Like, my mom's never met her, but it's like, that woman is just fabulous. Because, so we're talking about the creator of More Banana Productions.
Me.
Kate.
Another Caitlin in the room.
Another Kate. I can't get rid of these Caitlins.
No, we're spreading. We're everywhere.
And so you have heard Kate's voice.
Yes.
Laughing.
Yeah.
Hither and thither.
Your last name is Mord.
Moldenhauer.
Moldenhauer.
Listen, it is a beast, that name. Don't worry about it.
Your last name is More Banana.
My last name is essentially More Banana. Yeah.
Caitlin Moldenhauer.
Kate's my boss, and I'm like, I can't say your name.
I'm not offended. No,
but also you have multiple aliases. I'll email you, and you're like, on your Skype, you're like, I have multiple.
God, I have like 6 email addresses.
Yeah.
That's how you become a boss bitch, is you have to have 6 different emails. email addresses.
Yeah, because you can endorse yourself from another email address.
Oh, I love
you
know what I mean?
That's good. Wait, this is a good time to plug our More Banana crowdfunding.
Yes, it is. So for most of the month of August, we are doing a crowdfunding effort for More Banana because we want to expand our production and expand our audience and just become more incredible, even though we're super, super incredible.
So many great women.
But guess what? In this world, you gotta, you need money.
But like until now, More Banana has been just offering or operating out of like our pocket change and like Kate's good nature.
Hard work.
Basically hard work and good nature.
Elbow grease.
Elbow grease.
So we've got, and it's not just like, you know, you're not showing up to morebanana.com/crowdfund and just handing over your money. We've got t-shirts. We've got
tote bags.
We have moleskin notebooks.
No, I don't know.
I want all of them.
I'm dreaming about tote bags.
Maybe there might be tote bags. Who knows? New rewards will be released.
We're going to brainstorm at this moment more things because Sue and I like products.
We like things.
Anyway, and you can follow all of the updates because we will be blitzing social media like crazy at More Banana Podcast.
Yeah. And so this money when you donate is going into like helping us get incorporated, like helping the business end of it get set up. It's going into more editors for us. So Katie and I don't have to edit ourselves. It's going into marketing and promotion. It's going into like the stuff that we desperately need for the network. So it's
that all the big boys are playing with and we want to compete.
Big boys with their big money.
Which is
what we're going to kind of talk about today too. So it's very related.
Guys, this scam came to us because we're on a text chain and Kate is like, did you guys see this new documentary? You've got to read. And Sue and I are like, no. Kate's like, I've seen it twice. So she's our expert. She's our scamspert.
I am. So this documentary that you're referring to is The Big Hack on Netflix. And it has everything to do with Facebook, big data, Cambridge Analytica, and how that like affected the elections. And then also Congress investigating Facebook and having Mark Zuckerberg, you know, and that photo with him and all the cameras in front of him. This is a very complex thing, and it involves like a lot to do with how our society is changing.
Yeah.
And so like, where's the scam, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard. It's a little abstract. It's hard to nail down. So I argue that there are three scams going on.
Whoa. Okay.
Wait, let's break down from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I'm already confused.
I'm going to break it down so easy. I understand. Exactly what you mean.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I just kind of threw a lot of words at
you. I know,
I love it.
Okay, I want to go nice and slow.
Okay, yes.
Okay. So in this documentary, what they did is they showed that the big, huge Google and Facebook trial and hack that everybody freaked out about the Trump election was because Facebook and Trump and other campaigns worked with this company called Cambridge Analytica.
Yes.
And Cambridge Analytica is very smart and complex and was sort of in the dealing with the currency of consumer data.
Yeah.
And they know how to target their campaigns and manipulate the data and like get people to believe.
And that they were able to show people like specific things to help sway them. Mm-hmm. And so that is sort of from this documentary, what we gleaned from that.
And they're not a political company. They're just a company and they will.
They say they're.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're just a data company.
They'll literally go to any side. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll work for whoever pays them. So Ted Cruz was paying them and they work for Ted Cruz to get people to like Ted Cruz. So they're not technically politically affiliated.
No.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting that in the beginning of this episode, you were like, we're going to stay away from politics. But so much of this is about politics. So
just don't read and review. It's fine.
Yeah. Whoops. So there's three scams I'm going to cover.
Okay.
So you can think of it as three acts.
Oh, okay? I love it.
There's Facebook and the data industry.
Yep.
And how is that a scam?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how can we protect ourselves from it? There's propaganda, essentially, having to do with the elections and how. I actually am somewhat of an expert. I have a degree in Chinese political history.
Excuse me.
And yes.
Wow. Yes, we're learning a lot about Kate.
Excuse me.
Sue.
Wow.
I lived in China. I wrote a thesis. Yeah.
Wow. You've had so many lives. Because because you also have a catfish marriage or like a 90-day fiancé marriage.
You guys, there is an episode about Kate if you want to go back about her amazing marriage on our 90-day fiancé episode. Yes.
Okay. So, but anyway, needless to say, I've done a lot of research into propaganda and how you can use it to influence people. And then a third kind of smaller scam, but is really crucial to this documentary, internships.
Oh,
so we're going to get into that at the end. Okay. But first, we're starting at the beginning.
Okay,
for
good.
You, Caitlin,
thank you.
On Facebook and Big Data. Okay. So we all have Facebooks, right? Because we can't escape it. We're performers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So when you sign up for a Facebook, really simple, you give them your name, gender, date of birth, email address, and sometimes phone number.
Mm-hmm.
That feels really normal. You get that when you sign up for your email address. So most people are pretty aware that like that information is on the internet, that some company has it.
Right. You don't even think about it. You just plug it in and move on.
Exactly. And so from there, what does Facebook do with your data? Well, or like any other apps like Instagram, which is also owned by Facebook, mm-hmm. and WhatsApp, which is also owned by Facebook, and then Twitter, which is owned by Jack Dorsey, who's a white supremacist sympathizer. But that's fine. These companies have your stuff. Mm-hmm. Also like Google Chrome, PlayStation Live, everywhere. Anytime you sign like a terms and condition, they're taking this information.
Nobody reads it.
And if you read it, it is bizarre what they say they can do. Like if you go deep, like a deep dive into the terms and conditions, it'll say like, you know, we have permission to take all your personal information and possibly sell, like it says it in there, sell to third parties so that they can blah, blah, blah.
How are these lawyers also comfortable like creating that document?
But here's the thing with terms and conditions. If you don't accept, you can't do the thing. So it's like, ugh, just accept.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't use the product. Is that what
you're saying? Yeah, you can't use it.
You gotta accept to move forward.
You have to. Right, it's a contract. You're getting a service, so you have to sign the contract in order to get it. So beyond the information that you like volunteer up, all of these platforms, but mm-hmm. Facebook being the predominant one in this story, they take information like, what city do you live in? Where are you signing into things? Like if mm-hmm. you sign into a coffee shop, they know where that location is. Mm. What Facebook groups do you sign up for? What's your favorite TV show that you click that you like? Mm-hmm. Every ad that you click on, everything you like, they take all this information and they like build together, they like clump it together, and they also like match you with other people and they build these like personalities.
Mm. And then that was in the very beginning of Facebook where they would be like, what kind of toaster oven are you? And you take like a quiz and you'd be like, oh my God, guys, I'm a hot pink one. Mm.
So it's so interesting that you say that because that's literally where Cambridge Analytica got all of their personal data is from these quizzes.
Yes. And it seemed like a BuzzFeed quiz, but it wasn't.
No. And it actually, they didn't even like quiz that many people. It's the mm-hmm. way that Facebook shares data in between friendships and like Facebook groups and stuff mm-hmm. that they were able to access, I think, 40 million people from only 270,000 use the app that they use to get this information.
Oh my God.
So if you think about like the you know, your network, so how many people you're friends with, they're friends with, blah, blah, blah. Okay. It's almost like it's like opening up like a river system.
It's like the Kevin Bacon game. 6 degrees of
exactly. It's exactly like the Kevin Bacon game. So and all third party, go ahead.
I just want to say also that like anytime you log into something with your Facebook account, that thing also has all of your Facebook information as well.
Yes. So these are third-party apps. So for instance, Cambridge Analytica made this one quiz that was about like, what is your personality? It was made by a professor. Mm-hmm. And he only surveyed 270,000 people, but they were able to just start like sucking in personal data from access to these specific users'
data.
So
once one person uses the quiz, then that basically gives them access to go into your friends' accounts and their accounts and their accounts.
Because it's in the TNC, you download the quiz and then literally there's a clause in the quiz for this app that they were using that says, we will be able to access your friend's data.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, but nobody read the quiz. And honestly, like all, it's not just Cambridge Analytica, like any third party app is probably owned by a data company.
It's probably doing it right now.
Yeah.
Like remember Farmville?
Yeah.
And we all used to like play it and we loved it and whatever. Yes, absolutely. We were playing it for free. Like all of our data of what we were doing with our lives was being siphoned into whoever owns Farmville. I know. It feels
one thing that I heard recently that I've been like keeping in mind as I like navigate the internet and shit is that like if you're not the consumer, then you're the product. So if you're not paying to use anything, then somebody's profiting off of you in some way.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I love free shit, you guys.
No, it's not fair.
No.
I think often the media and people will portray this like data suck as really scary because it's like, oh, they're monitoring us all the time. That's not truly what they're using it for. Like, I'm going to go into what they use data for and why that's a scam. But like, it's not like they're not listening to your microphones to allegedly see what kind of product you say. Yeah. Well, that would be like so much work for them to listen to like individual audio and transcribe it. What it is just like we're predictable. Like, you know, you and I are probably going to buy the same product. Mm-hmm. So they're going to suggest it to us
literally
and hundreds of women who are just like
lasers.
Us.
At home, late personal lasers that Sue has and I want to buy it. So yes. Okay.
So, I mean, I don't want to squash anyone's ego, but like you're not that unique, particularly when it comes to products. So like the advertising works because they match you with other people who buy stuff you buy.
Okay.
So it's one of the things they use the data for. And honestly, like, I love Instagram advertising. It's how I find all my products. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Like, Instagram, you're doing very good. You know who I am.
You're great at advertising, Instagram. I will buy your products.
What they're doing is legal.
Okay.
Okay. All of this debt. And it's a huge industry that arguably, like, is saving us from having like a total economic crash because most of these data companies are based in the U.S. and whatever.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the scam is that there's an argument, particularly here in America, in our Constitution, that we have a right to privacy. Mm. And so our private data is actually our property. Mm. And so these companies are stealing our property and then selling it. And we're not getting any royalties. Mm. So there's a huge like political push like, hey, we should be able to sell the rights to our data. Like you sell the rights to your airspace or you sell the right to use your name or you sell like, you know, that it's a piece of our property and that these companies are making billions of dollars off
of
it. Mm. Okay. So that's the first chunk of the scam. That's why Cambridge Analytica exists. That's how they get all this information from us. And that's how they can manipulate us with propaganda.
Okay.
Okay.
Number two.
But this isn't, that's another thing too that I think was scary about this documentary and about this scam is people are like, oh, there's, you know, all of this like manipulation and stuff that we've never seen before. And there's all this fake news and like nobody saw it coming, but it's just propaganda. Mm. It's been around forever.
The Nazis were the best at it.
Yes. I mean, it's been around since like Romans would read out like decrees on the street corner because everyone was illiterate, you know, and they were just telling you what
you
need to
believe.
Telling
people whatever you want.
It's also this thing called PsyOps, which is basically propaganda, but it has to do with like psychologically evaluating people so that you can manipulate them, whatever. Okay. The army does it all the time. And in fact, one of my resources I went to research it was on like army.com. This is how we perform PsyOps.
Whoa.
It's like,
they said that and they said in the documentary.
Yes, exactly.
Cambridge Analytica or their part. Their father program
worked
with
the Army on PsyOps. Yeah, which is the way that the Army website defines it is convey selected information indicators to foreign audiences to influence their emotions, motives, objective reasoning, and ultimately their behavior.
Whoa.
Guys.
Yeah. That's from army.gov.
Okay.
Damn.
They're being real honest.
Damn.
So there are 89 different kinds of propaganda. I'm not going to go into all of them, but I'm going to describe some of them.
Okay.
And you're going to be like, these are so familiar. I know exactly what Facebook ad this is.
Oh my okay. God.
Right? Because these were all designed by Cambridge Analytica. So what Cambridge Analytica did was they used their tools of propaganda and PsyOps that they learned from working with the army or working on these other, in the documentary, they show a lot of other foreign elections.
Yeah.
And applying them to the 2016 election because they were hired by the GOP and by the Trump campaign and then by the GOP. Mm. Mm-hmm. So, okay, types of propaganda you can use. There's this type called ad nauseum, which is kind of what it sounds like. It's tireless repetition. Using the same phrase over and over and over again, it becomes harder to like refute it as truth.
Like lock her up.
Like lock her up. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
They could not stop themselves. Yes. It was constant.
They were chanting at Trump rallies.
I mean, it was everywhere. Yeah. Even if you weren't a Trump supporter, you couldn't help. But and that started from propaganda of either videos from rallies or literally just videos that said, you know, lock her up.
And in the documentary, a guy says, I came up with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Honestly, Sue, you could be a propagandist. Because you work in advertising, you're such a good writer. I do think that advertising
and marketing is like definitely like same kind of
type. Wait, yeah. Guys, I don't want to interrupt, but I just want to say GoFundMe, more banana, GoFundMe, more banana.
Morebanana.com/
More banana, more banana. Crowdfund, more banana.
Let's
we need
make that the lock.
That's all I
say it really low, get out your money, and they'll never know. Yeah. So then another kind of propaganda is appeal to fear. It feels really obvious, right? Yes. And a famous example of it, this is really fucked up, but Joseph Goebbels exploited the phrase, Germany must perish, claiming that the Allies sought to exterminate the German people and that that was their slogan. Mm. So to me, this reminds me of like any language around immigration.
Build the wall.
Exactly. Mm. Okay. And then there is a tactic called common man, which is like the plain folks or the common man want to do things this way. And like, particularly if you're talking about a candidate, it's like, I am one of the plain folks. Mm. I'm just like you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is like, even the slogan, like, make America great again, is this idea of like, we're all American and like, we want it to be, for everyone. Or even like, you know, the fact that like Trump was, it's really publicized about him eating KFC. Like, I'm a normal person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I think Hillary did some of those, like, she did some casual things.
A lot of candidates do.
Yeah. Holding up deuces, you know, just trying to be regular.
Hot sauce in the bag. Yeah.
Yes.
then there's
racially insensitive. You know, just casual racially insensitive things.
Yeah, I mean, this is not to say that like
it's good.
Yeah, but also like both parties, all candidates are guilty of
this
kind of
thing. They all do it.
Yeah. You know. But what's unique about it is that these tactics, these using lock her up and using this kind of like advertising and propaganda to change the way people behave was put onto Facebook. And like siphoned only to specific people. Mm-hmm. So like if you put a piece of propaganda on a bus, if you put lock her up on a bus outside, everyone sees it. And people are like, you know, they get online or they talk to their friends and they're enraged about it. Or people love it and it like leads to discourse. On the internet, only the people who want to see it see it.
So these were tailored advertisements based on those people who had taken personality tests and based on their friends.
Yeah.
And it was just targeted to, and I think they said they were targeted to people that were sort of in the middle ground.
In swing states.
They're called
What did they call them? Oh, I'm trying to think of the names.
Persuadables.
Yeah.
But in the documentary, they like would break it down by county. Like they could, by actual county. It's insane.
I don't have time to get into this. The Electoral College is also a scam, but anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's exactly what you're describing. The way they manipulated the election was twofold. They took the personal data in order to understand what people in what specific counties that would make a difference in the Electoral College could be basically like rallied up and fed a lot of propaganda in order to make a decision in their favor.
Mm-hmm. People that weren't sure.
Yeah.
Like, these guys aren't really sure. Let's just show them tons of video of this and tons. And I think imagery is so powerful in our generation.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's probably they targeted people who were in traumatic situations.
Mm. Oh, yeah,
they're much easier to manipulate. Mm. So, you know, you had the economic crisis. You had a lot of like disenfranchised white voters, which gets brought up all the time, people who would suffer from the opioid crisis, people who would suffer from the drop in manufacturing. And the Cambridge Analytica was like, oh, perfect. Mm-hmm. These people are looking for something. They don't see themselves represented in the media anymore in whatever way they want to be represented.
Let's jump on it.
Yeah. And they feel like they're suffering because of the government and not because of whatever.
Yeah.
And so if we feed them an enemy and a hero, then they will change their minds. And not only like probably, and I'm assuming because Cambridge Analytica hasn't released how they chose these persuadable people, but there's been a lot of like writing over who they think they are. But I would imagine these are probably people who wouldn't have voted ever. And using this propaganda made them become like active, like overly active protesters who are like super involved online and big advocates for the cause of Cambridge Analytica. So that was all designed.
Can you just repeat the common types of propaganda again so that people can watch out for this in
yes
because yes. I don't
are
think
there are more though
this There's is
more, yeah, yeah I don't yeah. know all of them
okay
but, So the next one was, so we had ad nauseum, common man, and appealing to fear. Those are some big ones. Mm-hmm. Another one is cult of personality, when an individual uses mass media to create an idealized and heroic public image, often through unquestioning flattery and praise.
Like Instagram people.
Well, yeah, but also like The Apprentice. Like, or like, I'm the most successful, I'm the most rich. Like, that language is a form of propaganda. And being like, you can't challenge me on it because I have control over like my media outlets and what people see. And anyway. Okay. Woof. Then there's the fire hose of falsehood. So this is when a large number of messages are broadcast rapidly and repetitively, so much that it's hard to like bring them up as false. And so this is like, if you're a journalist, you know, you only have so much time to fact check something. Journalists, because they have to follow fact checking and journalistic ethics, cannot keep up with the flood.
They're slower sometimes.
So they can't refute these claims often enough as quickly as they
need to. Well, your job just has to be a fact checker.
They
need those.
Let's see, what else? Oh, okay, so there's many examples. I'm not going to go through all of them, but to prove like how well Cambridge Analytica understood exactly what they were going to use this imagery for in the Trump campaign, I got this photo on the internet that I'm going to send to you, Sue, right now. So it looks really like it's looks pretty playful, but I'll explain it to you. So it's two signs. One, he's like, this is if you want to keep people off your beach, there are two ways. This is his presentation. If you want to keep people off your beach, there are two ways you can do it. You can put up one sign that says public beach ends here, private property. Or you can put up another sign that says warning, shark sighted, keep out.
Oh. Yeah.
So one is information and one is like inducing fear response.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he was basically like, this is how we're going to create content for this candidate.
Wow. So one is just whatever information, and the other is like you might get your leg bitten off and die.
Yes, right. Exactly. Yeah. And another, this is, I have an image that's pulled directly from a Facebook ad that was designed by Cambridge Analytica about the Second Amendment. And they use like, and it like reference for reference, they're like, that there, it's a picture of somebody breaking into a window, and it's like the Second Amendment isn't just a right, it's an insurance policy. And then underneath it says like high neuroticism and conscientious. So if somebody with that personality trait on Facebook, that a user has those two personality traits, they will target them with a fear-based, like your Second Amendment is so you can protect your home ad. Whereas if somebody is agreeable as like their personality trait, then they get a Second Amendment ad that says from father to son since the birth of our nation. And it's like a father and son with hunting rifles. So creepy.
Oh my God. Right? The manipulation. Okay. That's insane.
Yeah. They also used the guy with the pastel hair who was like the big whistleblower.
Brian or something.
Yeah, in the documentary reference that they used fashion data. So they used like what kind of clothes what companies you would buy from. Do you buy from J. Crew? Do you buy from ASOS? Do whatever to build like your personality. And then they would dress people in these ads to like match whatever. Like if you're a conscientious, high neurotic person, you probably shop at, I don't know, Talbots or Ann Taylor. And so they would take models that like matched the brand advertisements and create ads.
Fuck.
So you would be like kind of be like, oh, this looks like a fashion brand. And but it's like really a political message.
Oh my God. And you know what? The thing that was so crazy about this documentary is that the ads that they were showing that they had shown to these voters, I had never seen before.
Never seen.
No. And you never would because it doesn't match
private.
Your.
Yeah.
It's so creepy.
Yeah. So, and Facebook won't really release the data that, even though they've been subpoenaed a few times recently since the investigation and this documentary was made, but it's like they won't release the data that companies, not even just like political companies like Cambridge Analytica, like the documentary focused on them because they really did something intense and impactful and manipulative, but all kinds of companies are using
it. It is common right now.
Yeah. Mostly for advertising and consumer, but Facebook like won't release these data points.
Well, in advertising, like on the accounts that I've worked on, they like create their guy or like their person. Right.
Customer profile. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you do like a voter profile.
To the point where like the last one was called
You've been named?
Jessica. And she, like, it was like the most specific character, like what she does on the weekends. Does she go to brunch? Where does she go to brunch? What kind of shoes she wears? Like, just this made up thing of people they're trying to target. And it's very common.
Yeah. There's a lot of like buzzwords in marketing that I think.
Again, people give more banana your money.
Yeah, give
more banana.com/compound.
there's a lot of BuzzFeeds like affinity, targeted marketing, customer profile, and all it means is like, is this? They're just matching you with a bunch
propaganda
of different things. Yes, yeah. So there's like a weird gray line between, am I being scammed and manipulated, or is this like very good advertising? Mm.
Yes,
I mean, I think the manipulation part comes from they're taking your data, your personal information for free from you, selling it to people, making money off of it, and then also not telling you what personal information that is. So you can't be like, actually, I don't want you to know that I like this product, or actually, I'm not going to buy that thing because I know you know this about me. Like, we don't have access to that.
Yeah. But what you can do is go on and like change all of your privacy settings and unlike a bunch of things. I mean, I guess the data that's taken is taken, but you can probably go in and make more things a little more fine-tuned.
Well, and then Cambridge Analytica would argue we're not in, and they did argue in this thing, we're not in the voting booth with you. We're not forcing you to vote a certain way.
Right. And I think there was some data, I remember Alan, my husband, was telling me, there was some data that some of the Cambridge Analytica stuff did not actually work, that some people weren't actually swayed. So it's sort of gone back and forth. You can't like definitively say, but these are disgusting tactics.
But I mean, propaganda is actually a war crime.
Yes.
Like it has to be, for the most part, like the Geneva Convention says that using propaganda on prisoners of war is like what you can be held accountable for.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to determine like out in the real world what is propaganda, what is advertising, what is like opinion. But technically, like, yeah, there's a huge discussion in international affairs that it's like, companies shouldn't be doing propaganda. Politicians shouldn't be. So if it falls under these like some of the definitions I described earlier, it's like they're doing something that's like borderline a war crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
so what you're saying, though, like with your experience in propaganda and your degree in propaganda, is that these are things and tactics that are used over and over again that are very common in different
countries
and political fascist regimes throughout history.
Right, yeah. Right. So anything that propaganda-wise that has to do with emotional manipulation, whether that is, appealing to fear or making up false truths and false claims in order to appeal to that fear, that has been used by, Russia, famously Goebbels during World War II.
The Nazis.
Yeah, I mean, it's used by fascist authoritarian regimes all the time. And it becomes really dangerous when you limit the amount of information that people are getting. Because you can be bombarded with propaganda, but if you're being presented with all information, you get to make your own decision.
Right.
When Facebook is only showing you propaganda for one opinion, that is fascism. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
So that is what happened. And it's shitty political stuff, but also like the scam of it is that they're using our personal, like our private property, our right to private property, and they're selling it and making money off of it and then manipulating us. So, okay, I know it's like this is a big top level scam and bummer. So I want to finish up with my third and final scam.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've covered how Facebook taking our data is a scam. We've covered how propaganda scams us. Final thing is internships.
Okay.
Because in this documentary, they focus on one woman, Brittany Kaiser, for the most part.
Yes.
And her being like crucial to being a whistleblower and giving out information about Cambridge Analytica. And they follow her and she's very like, I mean, I don't know if you felt this way in the documentary. She's very like wishy-washy about how she feels morally. And
she was just going back and forth.
Yeah. And she's like an interesting character. And one of the things she says is that she was interning for the Obama campaign and like wanted to work for human rights and nonprofit groups and then ended up working for this company that worked for the GOP.
Yeah.
Yes.
And joined the NRA and stuff. And one of the reasons she says why is she's like, they would never pay me anything on the other side.
Yeah.
Because internships are a scam.
Yes. Don't work for free.
Okay. Because.
Like we're doing right now.
I have some data. It's not important. I feel like this is such an obvious thing.
No, it's great. I love data.
But it's essentially like the Fair Labor and Standards Act, the federal law says it's only an internship. It's only an unpaid internship. Companies can only offer you an unpaid internship if they meet every single one of these facets.
Okay.
They have to be similar in the type of training you would get at a vocational school.
Oof.
Okay. So they have to be training you to do something and giving you skills.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be to your benefit and not necessarily to the benefit of the company.
Mm-hmm.
These are like written in law, yeah. Which is insane because I've never had an internship. No. This is true. Okay. Your employer cannot get any immediate advantage from having you there.
What?
Yes.
That's exactly what you're there to help people.
You cannot take the job of someone that they would normally have to pay. What? You are you're not necessarily promised a job at the end of your internship. That's fine. And both you and the employer both understand that you aren't being paid, which is something that like is established up front. But our first like bunch of facets to me have never been qualified
for
an internship. Right. So Brittany Kaiser, despite her problems or problematic life, to a certain extent was scammed by not being able to be paid by internships. And so she was led into a vulnerable position. And then my follow-up theory is I just think that Alexander Nix, who was the head of this company, Cambridge Analytica, who is obviously like an expert in psyops and propaganda, like emotionally manipulated Brittany.
I think she was like a little bit in love with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, watching this documentary from a woman's perspective, you're like, you know, she sees his text message and she's like, he just texted me.
Yeah.
You see her get all flirty. Yeah. And you see like, you can tell that this guy is sort of seductive intellectually to her too, and really respects her and knows that she's powerful and can help him. And I think, when you are in a position where she explains in the movie that she had to immediately support her whole family because her parents were hit really hard and lost their home. And so if you're in this like desperate situation and somebody goes, I value you, here's how much I value you and I want you in my team and you are smart, it does impress you.
Yeah. And I think it's different to be like, he probably did this too, like what you're saying, like, I value you. I think you're really smart. I think you can work hard for us and make us achieve things. But he also was like, I'm going to get you drunk and change.
Yes.
And I'm going to be really nice
in a creepy way.
Yes. And I'm a powerful, somewhat good looking, very charismatic man. And she is like, not traditionally good looking.
I thought she was fine. I thought she looked like Anna Delvey.
She did look like Anna Delvey.
Yeah, I was like, look at these scammy girls.
But if I were in her position, I probably wouldn't feel super secure about myself in the world she was in. You know, the way she's like sprang on her Coco Mademoiselle. Mm-hmm. It's like, feels connected to it. Like
she had deep insecurities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can see that. And you know, this guy can see it.
Yes.
And he's like, you know, you need to pay for your family. You're working in an internship that doesn't pay you. So you're resentful. Like, and here I am going to save you. And then she gets involved in this situation.
And she's
you
very good at her job.
You could see her in this documentary going through this, like, I don't know what's right and wrong. I felt like I was a part of this family, this relationship. But in reality, like, I did a terrible thing on a big, giant, scammy level.
Also, she sort of was afraid. She kept being like, well, I'm going to leave the country. And then she got, like, stopped when she booked a ticket. Like, she's I feel like in her heart, she wants to be good, but then still her actions were like, I'm going to try to do what's easiest for me as well. Like, she was sort of trying to get around things because I think this happens with a lot of people that are very intelligent. They go like, I can think my way out of this. And it's like, no, sometimes you just got to follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sure you are maybe the smartest person in the room, but at the end of the day, you just have to pay your taxes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes like, I don't know, we do a lot of things to be liked. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, she probably was like, oh, these people like me. And
yes. She also was the only girl in the room a lot of times.
Yeah.
And she was the only girl on a board speaking, like whenever they did these interviews. And
But I think
it's complex.
It's very telling that we have this elaborate, like giant world scam that we cannot grasp. And we feel like you often get overwhelmed by these things, like, you know, like climate change. You're like, what am I going to do? But I think it's very telling that the CEO of this company was like many of our con men.
Yes.
And she is like a typical victim. And so to me, like, I don't think she's particularly a nice or great person based on some of the stuff that she's done. But like, I also empathize with her, and I'm like, I see how you got scammed, mm-hmm. and you represent all of us because we all got fucking scammed.
And she scammed people too.
Yeah. She was like trained, right?
Yeah. This was complicated, guys. It was, and it's also sort of like after watching the documentary, I was depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like, so at the end, so one of the lead characters in the documentary we didn't talk about that sort of spurred all of this was a guy who went, because Cambridge Analytica, I guess, was a British company.
Yes.
He went to England and hired a lawyer to then sue them or request documents from them.
England has tougher data, personal data, but data also laws it had than
to be,
we do.
If it was their if it was established in that country, it had to be their legal system.
Yes.
He couldn't like get an American lawyer to
do it. Correct. But it's also just more beneficial because they have tougher laws.
And so the whole thing ends up is that he sort of got all this attention for being somebody that wanted to actually say, where is my information going? And at the end of this, it turns out that there aren't laws applicable to this yet, because this has never happened before.
No.
So it was such a bummer at the end of the documentary, as I was like, well, I'm still going to go on Instagram and I'm still going to have my shit stolen.
Well, and I
think the moral of the story is don't go on Facebook, though, and get your parents to get off Facebook.
Well, my mom's not on it, thank God. You
know. Right?
Also, life hack. If you want to make sure that you're not being fed propaganda, follow people that you don't necessarily agree with. And I think for us, right, we're the liberal elite and we're crazy. And we would never like stoop so low to talk to people who we think are dumber than us. That's all the propaganda critiques, by the way. But going online and like following like Ted Cruz or following a politician who you don't agree with, you will then, Facebook and Instagram will start feeding you the other side's propaganda. And that's a really good way for us to understand what's fully going on.
Totally. Well, thank you, Kate, for this awful and depressing scam.
I'm sorry.
No, Kate, you're amazing. So I think
I hope I explained it well.
No, this is great. Thank you for your research.
But I also think that this is, thank you for your research. I also think this is like a very long, ongoing process, because still they're trying to figure out is our data our own?
How do you regulate it?
I think you just have to be like more of a tougher person in deciding what you're going to take.
We have to be more educated users for sure.
And also support more banana production.
And also give us
absolutely
money.
Absolutely.
We're 100% not a scam. We can argue as to why. I will send you propaganda as to why we're not a scam.
Look, we'll send you t-shirts.
Yeah.
Morebanana.com/crowdfund.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for...
Yes. Well, thank you very much. I love your show. I love helping you make your show, and I'm happy to
Thanks
be
for being our pod, thank mom. Mm-hmm.
And Kate, where can people find you?
Oh boy, at More Banana Podcasts, anywhere and everywhere, or morebanana.com.
And the other podcast you host.
Oh yeah, I do that too. I host a podcast called There Will Be Porn, where we recap vintage porn. It's me and it's my childhood best friend, so another lady. It's very fun. And then I host another one called World Stealers, where we write fan fiction and then produce it into radio dramas.
And that's all on More Banana Network.
Yeah, they're all here.
That's great.
Oh, thanks so much, Kate.
Yay. Thanks, guys. And as always, as you read before, we will respond to your emails and Twitter messages and texts, because we're obsessed with you.
ScamWow Podcast on all the things.
Yes. And then always, our hot tip hotline is 347-509-9414.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it,
Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.